أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الله نور السماوات والأرض، مثل نوره كمشكاة فيها مصباح، المصباح في زجاجة، الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار. نور على نور. يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء، ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس، والله بكل شيء عليم.
نعم، صب العذاب على من سب الأصحاب.
جمهور العلماء ذهب إلى أنه من سب الصحابة أو لعنهم يكون كافرا مرتد، وأجمع العلماء إجماع أن من اتهم الصحابة بالكفر أو بالنفاق أو طعن في عدالته أو في دينهم يكون كافرا مرتدا، مرق من ملة المسلمين وخرج من ملة الإسلام. لماذا؟ لأن الذي يطعن في الصحابة يطعن في الدين كله.
يسر إخوانكم في منتدى أنصار الحبيب المصطفى أن يقدموا لكم هذه المادة.
Sisters, inshallah, we are meeting now today in another episode of the Matters of the Righteous, which is Riyad al-Salihin. It's a very great and very interesting book. As you know, like Riyad al-Salihin is made up of lots of sayings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and these sayings are divided into chapters according to topics. And the topic of today is going to be steadfastness. Today we're going to talk about steadfastness. But before we get into the sayings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the explanation on these sayings, the very important point that we need to talk about is what is steadfastness when it comes to the language? Like how steadfastness is defined according to dictionaries. Now, I've got here the definition of Cambridge Dictionary, and this is what it says. Staying the same for a long time and not changing quickly or unexpectedly. That is an amazing definition. Look at this. Staying the same for a long time and not changing quickly or unexpectedly. Now, this is exactly what steadfastness is all about in Islam. Well, this is steadfastness. What do I mean by that? Staying the same for a long time, because this is how a Muslim should be. This is how a Muslim should be. You became a Muslim, okay? So you have to be the same with God, whether you are rich or whether you are poor. So it doesn't matter. Now this is a steadfastness. Whether you are in trouble or whether you are at ease, you have to be the same with God. To stay the same with God, this is what we call steadfastness. So you are a steadfast when you are not affected by other factors around you. When your faith is the same, whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whether you are in troubles, whether you are happy, whatever. So this is steadfastness. Look at the definition again in Cambridge Dictionary. Staying the same for a long time and not changing quickly or unexpectedly. Now by Islam we say, and not changing at all. Okay, you become the same with God all the time. This is steadfastness. In Oxford Dictionary, we've got here another definition, which is fixed or secure in position. This is one thing. Maybe of a person, specifically a soldier in battle. maintaining his ground, also of a battle, fought without change of position. Well, this is another meaning also for steadfastness when it comes to jihad. And jihad means war, okay, in the cause of God. And what does it mean, war in the cause of God? Is it this terrorism that people are talking about Muslims and Islam every day and night? No, it's not that at all, because jihad in Islam, okay, is to keep tyrants away from Muslims. This is number one. Is to guarantee the safety of Muslim treacheries. This is number two. And to keep enemies of Islam, those who attack Muslims and kill them, away from them. And this is the right. Because if somebody is attacked, he has the right to defend himself. I mean, this is normal. This is normal. So this is why jihad is in Islam. Now, God says in the Holy Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا Allah Almighty says, O you who believe, be steadfast, be supreme in steadfastness. So it is an order, but it's an order not to everybody, it's an order to those who believe. O you who believe, be steadfast, be supreme in steadfastness. Be supreme in steadfastness. Because a Muslim should be steadfast. A Muslim should be strong. A Muslim should take care of his religion. A Muslim should be patient, steadfast. And a Muslim should not give his attention to those terrible sayings about Islam, that Islam is the religion of terrorism, that Islam is the religion of killing. Because all this propaganda, inshallah, is not going to harm Islam by any way. But inshallah, number of Muslims are going, inshallah, to increase regardless of what the disbelievers are saying. Because Islam is fought all the time, and we don't care. Islam is being fought all the time, we don't care about that, inshallah. Because inshallah, we work for God, and we trust in God, we put our trust in God. And we know that God, inshallah, will not let the believers down. Now, God says in the Holy Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ And the Almighty says, we will test you with a certain amount of fare and hunger and loss of wealth and life and fruits. But give good news to the steadfast. And this is truly what happens in this life. This is what people really care for. Look at what God says. We will test you. With what, O God? We will test you with a certain amount of fare. Because you find some people in this world in which we're living, they fear some human beings more than they fear God. They fear human beings more than they fear God, and this is, a Muslim should not be so. You should fear only one, God Almighty. Okay? And you fear God, and you love Him at the same time. You fear Him, and you love Him. You fear Him, so you do not commit sins, and you love Him, so you are never in despair. You trust that God will have mercy on you. So these two are like wings for a Muslim. So a Muslim is like a bird with two wings. One wing which is fair, and the other wing which is, okay, to not to lose hope in God. To trust God. To believe in the mercy of God. This is how a Muslim should live. But we don't keep saying and telling everybody, oh, God loves you all the time. Yes, we know that God loves you, but we need to remember that God also punishes wrongdoers. So you have to take care. Yes, okay, God loves us and God wants everybody to be good. But if you're not going to be good, there is punishment waiting here. Okay, so it's like this. You fear Allah and at the same time, you don't lose. You don't lose hope in God. Okay? Because God accepts repentance. God accepts people who repent. And we talked about that last time. Now, so God says, we will test you with a certain amount of fear. And a Muslim should not be afraid of anyone but Allah. But some people may say, yes, but sometimes we become afraid. Sometimes we fear people because they are tyrants, they are killer, they threaten us. They drag us in the street, they beat us. Sometimes we are afraid of them. Well, this is a normal fear. I mean, no problem in this. As long as this fear is not more than the fear of God. Now, here is a problem. So you can fear a human being because he's a tyrant. I mean, this is human nature. Okay, but the problem is, this fear should not exceed the fear of God. Because every Muslim must know deep down that nobody is going to hurt him without God's permission. And nobody is going to give him benefits. Nobody is going to avail him without God's permission. So everything is in the hand of God. So why should a Muslim be afraid? If he is a true believer, if you believe in destination and you believe that whatever God wants will happen, so come on, don't be afraid and put your trust in God. And be patient and be steadfast. Now, we will test you with a certain amount of fear, hunger, and loss of wealth. Because man loves money. Nature. People loves this world. We need it. Of wealth. And life, death. People don't want to die. Especially those who commit mischief on earth. People who do horrible things, they don't want to die because they know that what is waiting for them is worse. So they don't want to die. And fruit. Now look at this. Look at this verse one more time. We will test you. God will test you to know if you are a true Muslim or not. Somebody would say, well, what do you mean to know? Do you mean that God does not know? God knows everything. But the point here, to know here, it means that God wants you, okay, to do the action so that later in the hereafter, God is going to ask you why you did it. Because God is not going to ask you about something that you didn't commit. So when God says, we will test you with a certain amount of fear, hunger, loss of wealth, life, fruits, God is testing you with what you're like in this world to see if you truly love Him or not. Like the story of Abraham. Like the story of Abraham and Ishmael. When Abraham was ordered by God to slay his son Ishmael, what did Abraham say? He was ready to fulfill the order of God. Because he loves God more than anything, more than his son, more than his wife, more than anything. He loves God. God is number one for Abraham, peace be upon him. And Ishmael surrendered to the will of God. Ishmael didn't care if he's going to be killed or not. And some people might say, but we know that it's not Ishmael, it's going to be Isaac. Isaac was supposed to be slain by Abraham according to the order of God. I say, I'm sorry, but this is distortion in the Torah, and it's very clear that it is distortion. Because everyone who reads the Torah knows very well that Ishmael was the older son of Abraham. He was the eldest, Ishmael. And in the story of Abraham taking his son as a sacrifice to God, it was written that Abraham took his oldest son, and we know from the Torah that the oldest son was Ishmael and not Isaac, as they say. So this is a very clear distortion here. But it's not our point. What we're saying is that God tests us. You have money and you love God. Now, when this money is gone, God wants to know, are you going to love Him, as you say? Like Job, the story of Job. God tested Job, okay? Job lost his family, Job lost his money, and he kept loving, okay? And he kept the orders of God, and he didn't turn back. Now, God says in the Holy Quran, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. And the Almighty says, the steadfast will be paid the wages in full without any reckoning. Now, this is what you get when you are steadfast. When you are a true Muslim, this is what you get. The steadfast will be paid the wages in full without any reckoning. Who says you are going to be paid your wages in full? It's not a human being, it's not a person like you. It's not a fellow human being, eh? The speaker is God. God is going to pay you your wages in full, and God is the most generous. And God says, without any reckoning. But why without any reckoning? Because God wants you to understand that what you're going to be given for being steadfast is something that you can't count. It is something that is uncountable. You can't count it. You will never understand how much you will be given because you were steadfast in this life. And this is glad tidings to those who are being killed, to those who are being driven out of their homes, to those who are being persecuted. This is glad tidings. That inshallah, as long as you are steadfast, so inshallah, your wages will be paid in full without any reckoning. So you are waiting for a gift from God. You are waiting for something amazing from God. Something that you can never imagine. Something that you can never count. You're waiting for that. Why? Because you are steadfast. You're not changing. Okay. God says in the Holy Quran, وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. The Almighty said, but if someone is steadfast and forgives, that is the most resolute course to follow. That is the most resolute course to follow. But if someone is steadfast and forgives. Oh, I mean, how great it is. You're steadfast. You do not surrender. You keep firm. You hold your Islam tightly. In this world that is against Muslims and Islam everywhere. Everywhere. I mean, I want you to have a quick look. Get a remote control and sit in front of the TV and try to flip through channels. What will you see, eh? Muslims are being killed everywhere. Basically, they're Muslims everywhere. And they are being killed and accused of terrorism also. Well, this is amazing. So yes, but if someone is steadfast and forgives, that is the most resolute course to follow. Because it's not easy. It's not easy to be steadfast these days. And also, dear brothers and sisters, and you have to know that the reward is bigger. So when the problems are more, the rewards are bigger. And we need to understand that very well. Now, let's move to also another point here. God says in the Holy Quran, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. The Almighty says, seek help in steadfastness and the prayer. Seek help in steadfastness and the prayer. Allah is with the steadfast. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. God is great. Now this is a very great verse here. Seek help in steadfastness and the prayer. Now this is advice given to you by God. If you want to be firm in this life and you want to ask help, if you want to be helped, so this help is going to be given to you through two things. Steadfastness, be tough, be firm, do not change, and keep praying to God. Five prayers a day. Five prayers a day. If you have a car, and you take this car to the mechanic five times a day in order to be checked, this car will be perfect. We are created by God. If we stand in front of God five times a day to be checked and to be cleansed from our sins, we will be great people. We will be very successful. Seek help in steadfastness and the prayer. Allah is with the steadfast. This is great, mate. Think of it. Allah is with the steadfast. I want you to think about it. Allah is with the steadfast. Allah is with the steadfast. This is a very great verse here. Allah with. Allah with. What does that mean? What does it mean? Allah is supporting. Allah is supporting the steadfast. If they're going to fight and they are steadfast, Allah is going to fight with them. If they are going to help orphans, ill people, sick people, poor people, and they are steadfast, Allah is going to be with them. Allah is going to help them. Allah is going to support them. Now, when we say that Allah is with so and so, we may mean two different meanings, and we need to give attention to this point. Number one, God watches everyone and knows what is in people's hearts. So this is one meaning. When I say Allah is with us, one thing that might be understood is that Allah is watching us. Allah knows what we're thinking about. Allah knows exactly what is in our hearts. So this is one meaning for Allah is with you. Another meaning is that Allah is supporting you. And now, a proof from the Holy Quran and evidence. God said in the Holy Quran, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. And He is with you, wheresoever you may be. So don't think that you're going to escape God. Never. Wherever you are, God is with you. Wherever you are, God is with you. And this is why, and allow me to take a sip. This is why, dear brothers and sisters, a bad lady, a prostitute, went to one of the Muslim scholars and she knocked on the door. So he opened the door. She said, I want you to lie with me. So the man looked at her and said, follow me. So he went out of his house and the lady, this prostitute, followed him until this man got into the sacred house of God in Mecca. And he said to her, lie on the floor. So she said, here? You saw the sacred house of God. So what did this man say? He said, God who sees us here is God who sees us in the house. Because God is everywhere. So look how he tried to teach this lady. He wanted her to understand this meaning that God is with you like every minute, every second. And God is closer to you than anybody you can imagine. He's closer to you than even the blood running in your veins. God is closer to you. So he tried to tell her, why are you so ashamed? Because we are in the house of God? So God who sees us here is God who sees us back in the house. It's no difference. And listen to what God said in the Holy Quran. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مَا يَكُونُ مِنْ نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ وَلَا أَدْنَى مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْثَرُ إِلَّا هُوَ مَعَهُمْ أَيْنَمَا كَانُوا ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. Now listen to this. Seest thou not that Allah doth know that is in the heavens and on earth? There is not a secret consultation between three, but He makes the fourth among them. Nor between five, but He makes the sixth. Nor between fewer nor more, but He is in the midst, wheresoever they be. In the end will He tell them the truth of their conduct on the day of judgment. For Allah has full knowledge of all things. So forget it. God is with you all the time. If you are three, God is the third one. If you're two, if you're one, God is the second one. If you're five, God is the sixth one. Fatima. It's just like that. So know that God is watching over you. Now, God says in the Holy Quran. And this is number two. So the first kind, or the first meaning of saying that God is with you, is the knowledge of God. Is that God is watching you. The second meaning that God is supporting you. God says in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ For Allah is with those who restrain themselves and those who do good. Allah is with those who restrain themselves and those who do good. I mean, restrain themselves from what? Restrain themselves from what? From committing sins. God is with them. God is supporting them. God is fighting for them. God is helping them. And those who do good, God also is with them. And the word is Al-Muhsineen. Al-Muhsineen. God says, Inna Allah ma'a alladhina attaqa wa alladhina hum muhsinun. Muhsinun, this is an Arabic word. Muhsinun. What does it mean? It means people who do good. But you need to understand that Al-Ihsan, Ihsan in Islam. Al-Ihsan, Ihsan is something that is more than Iman, and Iman means faith. So Ihsan is a higher degree. Ihsan is higher than Iman. Why? Because Ihsan means to worship God as if you see Him. So if you don't see Him, He sees you. See, how is it? So this is why we say that Ihsan is a higher degree than Iman or faith. Why? Because Ihsan is to worship God as if you see Him. Well, nobody sees God. But are you worshiping as if you see Him? So if you don't see Him, you know exactly that. He sees you, eh? So this is the kind of relation here. But God says in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوَ وَالَّذِينَ مُحْسِنُونَ Allah is with those who restrain themselves and those who do good. قال تعالى وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ حَتَّى نَعْلَمَ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَنَبْلُوَ أَخْبَارُكُمْ And the Almighty says, we will test you until we know the true fighters among you and those who are steadfast. And the Almighty says, we will test you until we know the true fighters among you and those who are steadfast. We will test you until we know. We talked about this before. Does not God know? No, God knows everything. So what does this verse mean? It means that hypocrites does not come out to Muslims except in difficult situations, especially jihad. Because a hypocrite can deceive you in every righteous act. They can pray as you pray, they can fast as you fast, they can give as you give. But the hearts is not clean, the hearts are not clean. But they will never put their necks to death. They will never sacrifice themselves, ever, because they are hypocrites. They are not allowed to, they don't want to die anyway. And this is why jihad was something with which God tests those who believe. Because in jihad and in battles and in fights, hypocrites come out. You can see them. And the necks get longer. You can grab them from the necks. Now you can know them. You can know them. Now listen to God again. We will test you until we know the true fighters. Now this is a test. Jihad is a test. So people who are not believers, true believers, you see them, they don't want to fight in the cause of God. They don't want to defend their brothers. They don't want to stand with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay. We know the true fighters among you and those who are steadfast, those who are powerful, those who do not change. Okay? Because it is not logical that you worship God while you have money and you have happiness and everything is okay and Then when these things change, where is your faith? Are you going to escape and leave? Or are you going to be steadfast and fight for your religion? Eh? Okay, now. So, God says in the Holy Quran, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ فِي كِتَابٍ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Knowest thou not that Allah knows all that is in heaven and on earth? Indeed, it is all in a record, and that is easy for Allah. So Allah knows everything. But the meaning of the verse, we will test you until we know the true fight. Does it mean? Until they do things that are against God, so they are scandalized. And then on the day of judgment, God will bring them and ask him why they did these things. Because if you didn't commit a sin, God is not going to punish you, right? But if you are a hypocrite and you don't commit sins, not because you love God, but because you are a hypocrite and you want to appear as a Muslim, but deep down you're not. Deep down you're not a good person. So what God will do, God will test you until your reality comes out. Okay, now. God says in the Holy Quran, وَلَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ لَنْ تَصَرَنِكَ وَلَكِنْ لِيَبْلُوَ بَعْضَكُمْ بِبَعْضٍ وَالَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَلَيُضِلَّ أَعْمَالَهُمْ سَيَهْدِيهِمْ وَيُصْلِحُ بَالَهُمْ وَيُدْخِلُهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ عَرَّفَهَا. Now if it had been Allah's will, He Himself could certainly have punished them without you. But He lets you fight in order to test you, some with others. But those who are killed in the way of Allah, He will never let their deeds be lost. Allahu Akbar. Now one more time. If it had been Allah's will, He Himself could certainly have punished them. Now, well, this is a message for people who are being persecuted everywhere. And this is a message for people who are in jihad, for people who try to fight enemies out of their lands, for people who are trying to defend their children, their families, their women, their lands, their rights, for people who are trying to stand against those who need to take the lands by force. This is a very good message for them. God is telling them, if it had been Allah's will, He Himself could certainly have punished them. Like if Allah wanted to destroy all the disbelievers, He would have done it. But no, God does not want it this way. God wants you to fight. Why? So that the true believers come up. And the true believers become well known. Oh yes. These are the people who are steadfast. Those are the people who stand firm against the enemies of God. So this is why, to test, to cleanse, to give the best of the best. And this is how it happens. Now look at this. But He lets you fight in order to test you. Some with others. Okay, so now people, okay, start to be, you know, tested. Oh. Those are very good people now. They are in the second stage, in the third stage, in the fourth stage. Okay. But those who are killed, now look at the rest of the verse. But those who are killed in the way of Allah, He will never let their deeds be lost. Like, don't think that because they are killed, they are losers. Or not losers. They are winners, really. Because they have something that is far better with God. Okay, so this is what a true Muslim should believe it. Okay? And this is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Allahumma ra'isha illa aishul akhirah. That there is no true living except the living of the coming world. I mean, this is the true life. It's not this one, but the coming one is the true life. So you need to work for it. You need to do things for it. So if you're killed in this life, so what is it anyway? If there is something better that God has prepared for me. Now we have three kinds of steadfastness. But before that, I need to take another sip. We have three kinds of steadfastness. The first one is to be steadfast in God's obedience. So this is the first kind, to be steadfast in God's obedience. It's not easy. It's not easy. It needs efforts and it needs true faith. Okay, it needs a steadfastness. So to be steadfast in God's obedience, to obey God, to obey God. God says in the Holy Quran, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Nay, seek Allah's help with patience, perseverance, and prayer. It is indeed hard, except to those who bring a lowly spirit. Except to those who bring a lowly spirit. Those who are humble to God. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. So steadfastness, to be steadfast in obedience, to keep obeying God, and you try very hard not to change. You try not to change. As the definition that we get from Cambridge University for the word steadfastness, you don't change. So you keep on the way with God. And number two, so this is number one, to be steadfast in obeying God. Number two, to be steadfast in keeping away from sins. To isolate yourself from sins, to keep away from drinking wine, keep away from committing adultery, keep away from robbing, stealing, raping, all the terrible and the big sins and small ones, try to keep away from them. And the third kind of steadfastness, to be steadfast when painful destinies come. To be steadfast when painful destinies come. Now let's talk about that. To be steadfast in painful destinies, come. This life is not full of happiness all the time. This life is not full of happiness all the time. Sometimes you're happy, sometimes you're not. Today you're rich, tomorrow you're poor. Today you're poor, tomorrow you're... I mean, everything's changing. So you cannot feel safe in this life. You're never safe in this life. So everything changes. You're young today, you're strong today, tomorrow you're weak, tomorrow you're old. It happens to everybody. So the true believer should be steadfast when painful destinies come. You are rich, and then you lost your money. But the problem that your heart, or the good thing that your heart didn't change. Your heart is the same with God, right? No change. You love God, you work for God, and it's no problem. So this is true steadfastness here. This is one very important kind of steadfastness. So we have steadfastness in obedience, steadfastness to keep away from sins, and steadfastness when painful destinies come. You knew that one who is very close to your heart died, but you are patient, you are steadfast, and you don't change with God. I mean, this is important. Now, and because of this point, I think we need to talk about the stages, okay, of a person when a painful destiny comes. So, now, the four conditions of a person when visited by a painful destiny, they are as follows. Number one, resentment. Number one, resentment. And a Muslim should not be resentful. No, not should not, must not be resentful. Okay? So, what does it mean to be resentful? For example, someone knew that he lost his money. So deep down in his heart, he hates God. Oh, that is horrible. He's not a Muslim anymore this way. He hates Allah because he lost all his money. I mean, but why don't you remember the other graces that God gave you? God gave you eyes, God gave you arms, God gave you body, God gave you health, God gave you children. God gave you even the breath that you take every day. God gave you everything. What if God took all your money? Well, what's the problem, eh? Now God gave you the money in the first place and he took it back. He's testing you. So you feel that you hate God. deep down. This is resentment. A Muslim should not be like this. Another kind of resentment, which was done, that you keep saying, why did this happen to me? Why me? Why are you doing this to me, God? And you keep saying, I mean, this is blasphemy. This is blasphemy. A Muslim should not do that. Or you can be resentful by your body, like some people keep hitting their heads against walls when they hear that something great or a painful destiny came to them or visited. They hit their heads against the wall. Some people, they tear up their clothes, and some people, you know, like, keep shouting like crazy and smashing things. And a Muslim should not be like this. Now, so those people who are resentful, they have two kinds of disasters. The first one in this world, and the other one in the hereafter. In this world, which is the disaster that came to them, and in the hereafter, that they are going to be treated as resentful. Those people were not satisfied with God's orders and with God's destiny. They didn't say, thank you, God. So this is a problem. So, if a catastrophe visited you, you say, alhamdulillah, thanks God. Thanks God anyway, alhamdulillah. But if you're not happy with it and you keep shouting and you hate God and you keep fighting, do you think that the problem is going to be over? No. So you're going to have a disaster in this life and a disaster in the hereafter, because you will lose God's protection on the Day of Judgment. Now, number two. So number one, resentment, we forgot about it. We don't need it. Number two, which is steadfastness. This is what we're talking about. And this is the second stage. Now, what is steadfastness? To hate the catastrophe. Of course, I lost my money. I hate it. The fact that I lost my money. I hate this fact. I don't love it. I don't love losing money. Okay? I hate it. But you do not anger God by your heart, tongue, or limbs. Well, this is very important. Yes, so I hate what happened, but I don't hate Allah. I don't say anything deep down inside me that makes God angry. And I don't say any bad word with my tongue against Allah. And I don't do any act that makes God angry, like smashing things, or tearing my clothes, or locking my hair, or any crazy thing. In this case, I'm a steadfast. So steadfastness, it means that, of course, you hate the catastrophe that has befallen you. You hate the disaster that happened, but you don't anger God. You don't anger Him. Now, the third stage, so the first one, resentment. And the second one, steadfastness. Steadfastness. And the third one is contentment. Contentment. What is contentment? To be content with your current situation, regardless of the losses. To be content, like you're satisfied, no problem. You are satisfied, like you have money, so okay. If you don't have money, I'm content, I'm happy. I have no problem. And this means that your heart, you have a very pure heart. And you love God sincerely. And the reason why you love God is not because of money, or not because God gave you children, not because God gave you a job with a high salary, not because God gave you a very nice house or a very amazing land. It's not because of this. It's because you love God. So whatever happens, you're content. You're happy. You're a happy person. And those kind of persons, they are great, this kind of person. Those people are amazing. Nothing changes here for them. Nothing changes. Now, and the fourth stage, and I ask God to make me and you among those who reach this stage, Amen, which is thankfulness. So we have resentment. And after resentment, we have steadfastness. And after that, we've got contentment. And the fourth one, which is thankfulness. What is thankfulness? To give thanks when a disaster befalls you. And this is like the highest thing. To give thanks when a disaster visits you. Allahu Akbar. God is great. Like someone knew that his son died. So he says, all thanks be to God. Alhamdulillah. God gave and God takes. And he's steadfast. Now look at this. Look at this. Look at the reaction of this person. He knew that his son died, so he said, Alhamdulillah. All thanks be to God. Whatever God does, I'm happy with it. Alhamdulillah. And he thanks God. Because basically, we thank God, there is a grace coming, but he thanks God for everything. Because everything that God does to a believer is for his own sake. Somebody might say, how could that be for my own sake, like killing my son? Or to know that my son got killed or died. Well, because you're going to be steadfast. And if you're going to be steadfast, you're going to be granted paradise. So in both cases, this is good for you, subhanAllah, but you don't realize it. Okay? So everything that happens to a Muslim, that happens to a believer, is for the sake of him. It's for the good of him. Okay. Now, God says in the Holy Quran, وَلَا مَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. And verily, whosoever shows patience and forgives, that would truly be from the things recommended by Allah. Whosoever shows patience and forgives. Like, what is the relation between patience or steadfastness and forgiveness? I mean, a very, very close relationship. Because sometimes you meet someone at your work who is trying to drive you crazy and to make you angry or mad all the time. He's trying to irritate you. But as long as you keep patient and steadfast, okay, you'll get rewards from God. And if you want to be in a very good stage, and a closer stage to God, you forgive him. Well, that would be fantastic. So he is harming you, he is irritating you, he's annoying you, and you are patient, and also you forgive him. So this is why God said, but verily whosoever shows patience and forgives, that would truly be from the things recommended by Allah. Allah wants you to do that. Now, but forgiving others has a condition that we read in the coming verse. God says in the Holy Quran, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. The recompense for an evil is an evil like thereof. But whoever forgives and makes reconciliation, his reward is due from Allah. Verily, he likes not the oppressors. Verily, he likes not the oppressors. So, the verse in the Holy Quran in Arabic is فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحُ. Aslah, this word has, if we're going to translate it also, aslah is going to be to reform. And aslah in Arabic means to make things better. So those who forgive and make things better. Because sometimes forgiving make things worse. I mean, how? Somebody would say, how could forgiving make things worse? Like, if you know that, if you are going to forgive someone, okay, for stealing your money, and you know for sure that if you forgave him, he would steal again, so you are not advised to forgive him. And this is why God put this as a condition for forgiving. So you forgive as long as you know that this forgiveness is going to lead to something that is better. But if you forgive and your forgiveness is going to lead to something that is terrible, you do not forgive, you ask for punishment. You ask for punishment against this man. So we got the idea now. So yes, forgiveness is great in Islam, as long as you know that it's going to lead to something better. What is the evidence? God says in the Holy Quran, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. What does it mean? Okay, the recompense. It means, but whoever forgives and makes reconciliation, or we can say, and make things better, his reward is due from Allah. Verily, He likes not the oppressors. So if you know that this forgiveness is going to lead to what is good for the society, better for the society, go for it. Okay, I'll give you a very nice example. Okay, like if some crimes are forgiven, this is going to encourage others to commit it, or to commit them. And this is well known in the life we live in these days. Now, great, now look at this. And let's start with this hadith by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, purity is half of belief. Purity is half of belief. Praise be to Allah fills up the balance. And glory be to Allah and praise be to Allah fills up everything between the heavens and the earth. This is a very amazing hadith. Again, and we're going to continue. Now, Prophet Muhammad said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, purity is half of belief. Purity is half of belief. Praise be to Allah fills up the balance. And glory be to Allah and praise be to Allah fills up everything between the heavens and the earth. The prayer is a light. Sadaqah, almsgiving, is a proof. Steadfastness is an illumination. The Quran is a proof for you or against you. Everybody goes out and trades with his own self, either setting it free or destroying it. What an amazing hadith. What an amazing hadith. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May be the blessings and peace of God be upon you, O Prophet Muhammad. The prayer, again, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, purity is half of belief. Praise be to Allah, saying, praise be to Allah, fills up the balance. Glory be to Allah and praise be to Allah fills up everything between the heavens and the earth. The prayer is a light. Sadaqah is a proof. Almsgiving is a proof. Steadfastness is an illumination. The Quran is a proof for you or against you. Everybody goes out and trades with his own self, either setting it free or destroying it. Now let's comment on this. I mean, this is a very great hadith, mashallah. Now, and the first point to comment on it is, purity is half a belief. Why? Because faith is made up of adding and removing. Yeah? Listen carefully. Purity is half a belief. Why? Because faith is made up of adding and removing. Adding what? And removing what? Removing comes first. You remove disbelief, you remove polytheism, you remove bad things, you remove sins, you clean the person, then you put belief in into his heart. So faith is removing and adding. You remove tyranny, sins, you remove polytheism, you remove paganism, you remove bad things, and you put belief inside it. So it is removing and adding. Removing is purification. Removing is purification. So purity is half of belief. Now, one more time. So belief, faith, two halves. One, which is removing, taking away bad things. And the other half, adding. Adding good things. Okay? And good manners. This is belief. So this is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, purity is half of belief. Half of belief. Okay, now. We have two kinds of purification here, which is physical purification and spiritual purification. Now, physical purification, like, for example, you went to the bathroom to answer the call of danger, so you need to clean yourself, okay, with water after you finish, okay, your thing in the bathroom. So this is a kind of physical purification, but there is a spiritual purification, which is about the heart. Spiritual purification through praying, through fasting, and through obeying the words of God. This is a spiritual purification. And through being a Muslim, of course, and being a believer in God and His last Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all the prophets, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Jonah, Job, all the prophets, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, jami'an. May the blessings of God be upon them all. Now, so this is the meaning of purity is half of belief. Now, praise be to Allah fills up the balance. Praise be to Allah. Say, oh, praise be to God. Praise be to God. Saying that fills the balance. And what is the balance? The balance on which our deeds in this life are going to be put. Okay? And our deeds are going to be weighed. So, if the balance is going to be okay for our good deeds, like if our good deeds are heavier than our bad deeds, so we go to heaven. And if not, so we don't blame anybody but ourselves because we didn't obey God. So, Prophet Muhammad said, praise be to Allah, fills up the balance. But why? Because the best phrase, because it is the best phrase to praise. And this is why the Quran starts with it. For every surah in the Holy Quran, except Tawbah, or repentance, you find that every surah starts with, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises be to God. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This is the beginning. I'm sorry, not in every surah. I was talking about the smell. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But, no, I mean, praise be to Allah. It's Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises be to God. All praises be to Allah. It starts. This is why the Quran starts with it. Because it's the best form of praising to say that. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praises to us. Inshallah, we're going to continue this amazing hadith, inshallah, next time. Thank you very much for watching, and may God guide me and guide you to His straight path. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.